Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're here live to address your questions and real-life issues by phone, and we invite your calls to 1-800-677-9377 right now. If there's something you'd like to talk about, the lines are open for you. 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to listen and take part to learn how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. I love this passage in the book of Revelation, Revelation 12, starting in verse 10. It reads this: "Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, 'Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, because they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death.'" So we have this accuser. That's Satan himself. He accuses us before God day and night. And here in this heavenly vision, we see that he has been thrown down, hurled down. Those accusations don't hold up. They don't hold up in heaven, and they don't hold up here. And the reason they don't hold up here is because we have a God who justifies us by the blood of Christ Jesus himself and by the word of our testimony, our confession of Christ as both Lord and God in our lives. Paul talked about this in Romans chapter 8. I love this passage as well. What shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? And I think that's a question that we all need to ask ourselves. Is God for us? And how do we know? Well, this is how we know. God demonstrated his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. That's how we know he's for us. He's not against us. He never was against us. So he did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? So who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. So we've talked about in this armor of God that we are to wear, we have a breastplate of righteousness. Well, here's kind of the vision of what that is, the fact that God has justified us through the blood of Jesus Christ. Because of the shed blood of Christ, it's as if we had never sinned. That's incredible news.
Absolutely.
So God has made a declaration that we are righteous because of the blood of Jesus Christ. The righteousness of Christ has been given to us. And so any charge that comes against us holds no water. Why? Because God has already declared us righteous. That's what we're to stand in. That's what we're to trust in. That's what we're to rely upon each and every day. You're going to get accused. You're even going to accuse yourself. You're going to take those thoughts that Satan puts in your mind, those thoughts of shame and fear and guilt and all of that, and then you're going to start speaking them as if you came up with them all by yourself. There's going to be all kinds of accusations. What's your defense against those? The righteousness that you have in Christ. Who will bring a charge against you? It is God who has justified you through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's truth to stand on.
You bet.
And that's truth that will set you free.
That's Basic Gospel, friends. And you found the broadcast on your radio dial. We'd love for you to be a part of it by phone at 1-800-677-9377. The lines are wide open right now, and we await your calls. Plenty of time on the clock. As a matter of fact, just about all of the time remaining on the clock on this broadcast, and we'd love to hear from you. If you have some particular Bible question that you'd like to pose, if you have some life issue that you're facing that you'd like to discuss, this is your best opportunity. Call now, 1-800-677-9377. Guys, a question from Anthony, who writes to us from Biloxi, Mississippi, says, in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 5, and in 1 Timothy 1:20, the Apostle Paul uses the expressions having to do with delivering one over to Satan. Could you please explain this particular concept of delivering one over to Satan?
Well, it's a good question, and I think the passage in 1 Corinthians, we need to understand the context, and many people have looked at this particular passage to come up with, you know, a process for excommunicating somebody from the church, and they try to follow what Paul did in this particular example, but they do so without understanding the context, without understanding the reasonings. And what was happening there in the Corinthian church was that the sins of this one particular person was starting to influence, impact negatively the entire body. So it was a cancer that was growing among the body. So for the sake of the body, for the protection of the body of Christ in that particular church, in that particular city, Paul said, this is what you need to do. You need to cast that guy out, and I'm going to turn his body over to Satan. And I take that to mean that to experience the full consequences of his sin here and now, so that he could eventually come to a point and realize that that's not the way. That's not the way of Christ. That's not the way of real life. And he would come to a point and repent and to change his mind and really turn to Christ if he had never been saved for salvation, if he was saved to realize what this new life in Christ was all about. So that's how I take that particular passage. Do you have any other things to add to that, Richard?
I think that's exactly it. Paul wants this guy to reap what he has sown outside of what he imagines would be the covering of the church, where he's kind of getting away with it because people are winking at it. And Paul says the only way this is going to happen is if he is confronted directly with what's going on, so that his spirit can respond to the spirit, to the Holy Spirit, and come to restoration in this situation. So I think you've got it exactly.
Absolutely. And you notice that the whole point is so that his spirit may be saved on the day of the Lord. So there's always salvation, there's always restoration, there's always positive benefit behind what Paul was doing. He was motivated by the love of God. Mm-hmm. And so the love of God moved him to say, this is what needs to happen. And if you notice in 2 Corinthians, Paul says, bring him back. He has suffered enough, and he's come to his senses. And so they welcomed him back into the body. And that was the whole point, the restoration of this particular person and the protection of the body of Christ.
Yeah. Well, Tony, hope that's been a help to you. Hope you're listening. And friends, if you can't get to the phone while we're actually on the air live, we encourage you to drop us an email to pose your question or your particular need. Just go to online to basicgospel.net. You'll find a prominent email link right there on the homepage at basicgospel.net. And right now, plenty of open lines remaining. Want to hear from you, 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Louisville, Kentucky, and talk with Mary, listening to us on WFIA. Hi, Mary.
Well, hi. I came in on the tail end of what you were talking about, and so, and you said we're even going to accuse ourselves.
Well, sometimes we do that, Mary. I was talking to somebody in a hospital, and they were, you know, getting close to death, and in that conversation, this person said, "I just don't know if I've done enough. I just, you know, I wish I could have done more." And so here he was accusing himself, saying, "Hey, I didn't do enough." And as a result, he was feeling guilty and shameful. And the point is, listen, you could never do enough. That's why God sent Jesus. Jesus did enough. His work was sufficient to save you and to save you completely. Rest in Him. So we certainly can accuse ourselves. I did that for a lot of years. You know, every time I sinned, I was thinking, well, you know, this salvation thing must not have taken. You know, I must not have received Christ the right way. I must not have said the right thing or expressed it in the right way. And so I would beat myself up over those sort of things. And there's a lot of self-loathing, a lot of self accusation that goes on within humanity. I think that's just part of our human nature. But
as a Christian, to accuse himself of, well, I would think that guy was just being a little bit doubtful.
Well, doubtful because of some of the accusations. I mean, an accusation is like, hey, I didn't do enough. I should have done more. Well, you're accusing yourself of not doing enough. So you have to take that and say, well, is that thought truth? And the answer to that is no, that's not a true thought. What's truth is that Jesus did enough, that his blood was sufficient to take away your sins. His righteousness is sufficient to give you right standing in the sight of God. His resurrection is sufficient to overcome the power of sin and death. So we need to rest in him. So we entertain all kinds of thoughts that are negative, that are not true. And we need to take each and every one of those thoughts captive to the Lord Jesus. And it's there that we find victory.
Okay, all right.
Okay.
Well, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Mary. Thanks for your call.
Again, plenty of time on the clock, plenty of time for your call. 1-800-677-9377.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Queens, New York, and talk to T, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, T.
Hi. Thank you guys so much for having me on the line, and God bless you.
Well, thank you. What's on your mind today?
Well, I'm calling in it's kind of like a life, I want to say like more of life than a Bible question.
Okay.
I am a college graduate, and I have been facing unemployment for, I want to say, close to 4 years. But, you know, God is faithful. He has been faithful through my trials and the tribulation I have. And it's something that I've never really faced because I've been so used to working since I was a teenager, since 14, and I'm now 31. But God has made a way, and he's made ends meet for me, and I have support of my family, and I always tell myself things can always be worse. And touching on what you've mentioned about thoughts, you know, the enemy does come to steal, to kill, and to destroy, especially when you're alone. And so many people are going through unemployment right now, like certain, you know, different situations where they're being attacked. So I guess I'm calling in today to ask, you know, if you have any maybe biblical advice as far as coping, because, you know, I do read the Word. You know that the word is our sword. I pray, and, you know, I just ask the Holy Spirit for strength. And, you know, I've been blessed enough to have interviews. I just recently went on an interview. I didn't get the job. But again, you know, I truly, truly do believe that God is faithful and he does answer prayer. And I've even been blessed enough to get, you know, freelance gigs here and there. And I'm actually working right now, but it's not what I want to do, of course. And, you know, that happens in life. Sometimes we can't always get what we want.
Right.
And this has really helped me. Also, God has showed me to be very patient, because when I was young and I did have, you know, decent paying jobs while I was in college and high school, I just left them for different reasons. So I'm really feeling like this is not only a lesson, but, you know, that eventually something will come along. It's just when, you know.
Right, right. I understand that, T. And, you know, what I would say to you and to anyone, I think you nailed the loneliness. You feel kind of isolated and that sort of thing. Oftentimes in that loneliness and that isolation, we let our minds just entertain all sorts of thoughts.
Right.
And one of the most prevalent ones that we entertain is this, if God really loved me, he would change my circumstances.
Yes.
And when we ask that question, then that leads to doubts of God's love. You know, if mm-hmm. Obviously he doesn't love me, otherwise things would be different.
Right.
I would be in a different set of circumstances. Well, that's a lie, isn't it? Because in Christ, nothing can separate you from the love of God. The fact that circumstances aren't so good right now doesn't change God's love for you one bit. So you have to come to a point and say, I'm going to rest in the fact that God does love me, that God is interested in me, that God does care, and that God is actively working all things together for my good. Maybe I don't see that right now. Maybe I don't feel that right now. But based on the Word of God, I know it's true, and I'm going to let my mind rest in that truth.
I do struggle with different things, too, like even reading things on the Internet that are biblical and what the Bible says, and even like you mentioned Paul, and it's just so funny I'm listening to this today because even Paul says he knows what it feels like to have, you know, a little, and he knows what it feels like to have a lot, and I'm totally, like, in that situation right now, and you just think, you know, like, you go to school and you get education, and you just think your life's going to be a certain way, and it just doesn't turn out that way.
Well, what I've found out is usually reality doesn't match what our expectations were going into something.
Right.
I think that's just the way it is. And so we're expecting life to go in one direction. It doesn't go in that direction. So we become, frustrated. We can become unhappy. We can become fearful. And all of those things start to control our decisions. And
right.
When we allow those negative emotions to control our decisions, we just compound the problem. And what that tells us is that we are looking to circumstances for our happiness and contentment. And what life teaches us is that happiness and contentment can only come from the Lord. That it's in Him that we find our contentment. And that's what Paul was saying in that passage that you mentioned. When he learned to live with a little and he learned to live with a lot, because he found the secret to contentment. And that secret was in this relationship with God, knowing that nothing could separate him from the love of Christ Jesus. And when he discovered that truth, contentment became his. And with that contentment comes wisdom, and with wisdom comes kind of steps that you can take to move you forward in any given circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense to you, T?
Yes, it does. It just, you know, I think about certain things that are bothersome, you know, like, oh, what if something happens to family? And like you said, the worry and the fear, it all comes. And, you know, those are all, I know, Satan's tactics. He uses so many different things to attack us. And
well, let me tell you something. Satan is always going to try to get you to think about the future or the past. And he's going to help you paint a very negative picture of the future. And that's what we do. Whenever we think about the future, we're on the corner of some street corner selling pencils, begging for money. That's what our future thinking eventually leads to. Some
so
dark,
funny you say
bleak
that,
story.
It's so funny you say that. That's exactly what I was getting to without saying so much. But yes. It's been that. And, you know, I'm young. I shouldn't have that kind of mindset, but...
Well, you're human.
Yes.
And Satan is masterful. And like I said, he tries to take your mind out to the future, and he helps you paint a very bleak picture. Or he's going to take you to some sin that you've committed in the past, and he's going to make you feel guilty, and he's going to try to label you based on that sin. That's what Satan does. And so you have to step back and say, wait a minute. All I know is what I have right now. And what I have right now is a gift of God, is a gift from God. And I'm going to thank Him for what I have right now. And when you're able to do that, then Satan can't take your mind to the future, nor can he take it to the past.
Amen.
Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Okay. Let me send you a copy of a book called The Hurt and the Healer. I think you will really appreciate this. I think it'll be a valuable resource to you right now in the circumstance you're going through, okay?
And thank you for that.
T, please give your email address to our operator as well. We have something else we'd like to send to you as well.
Yeah, you.
I thank you, guys.
You hold the line, and thanks for your call,
okay.
And you stay connected with us, okay?
Yeah, please do.
Okay. God bless.
Hey,
thanks,
you too. Hang on, T.
Couple of minutes left, and if you call very quickly, we can squeeze in your call. In the meantime, we want to let our listeners know, as we will at the end of the program as well, that we have this book that Bob mentioned is sending to T, is Operation Screwtape, and The Hurt and the Healer, I'm sorry. And that is available from our online store at store.basicgospel.net. Also, the book that Andrew Farley has written called Operation Screwtape is available for a gift of any amount, and you can find it online at Basic Gospel as well.
Yes, indeed. And before we go to our next question, Bob, I want to take a few minutes to talk about some financial details. As you have said so often on the broadcast, Basic Gospel is listener-supported. We are looking for partners to stand with us on a monthly basis. We're looking for people to commit $35 a month or more to the outreach. And why do we say 35? Well, because as we've calculated our airtime cost and the audience, our estimate on what our audience is, it works out that $35 helps us reach 100 people. So with a gift of $35, you can reach 100 people with the good news of Jesus Christ. And so you multiply that over 12 months, that's a lot of people that you're reaching with the good news. So we're asking people to stand with us monthly to become a Basic Gospel partner. Last year we had 550-plus people that stood with us at that level. We want to see that jump up significantly. We would like to see 900 people this year join with us as Basic Gospel partners at that level. Maybe you can't give at a $35 a month level. Would you give $20 a month? We need you to stand with us, and any amount that you choose to give on a monthly basis will be greatly appreciated, and God will use it in incredible ways to touch people's lives. That's what this radio broadcast is all about. It's a broadcast that delivers the good news in its simplest and purest form. And in that simple and pure form, it touches lives, it ministers to hearts, it binds up the brokenhearted, it sets free the captives, it brings life to those dead in sin, it brings forgiveness to those struggling with guilt and shame and fear and all of those sort of things. It helps couples come together on a solid foundation of love and grace and mercy. It helps parents learn how to share the good news with their kids. That's what this gospel does. That's why we have named this broadcast Basic Gospel, because it is the most powerful message on the planet today. And if you'll take your stand on this gospel, you'll see amazing things happen. And that's why we're asking for you to join with us in support of this program.
Yeah. And as we close the program, thanks for joining us today, everybody. I want to underscore what Bob was saying, that we are on the air live each day only because of your prayers and your financial support. As a way of saying thank you for standing with us with a gift of any amount, you'll receive a copy of Andrew Farley's book, Operation Screwtape. To make your gift and request your copy and to join us, call 1-800-727-2828. That's 800-727-2828 between 9 and 6 Central Time, or visit us online at basicgospel.net. Operation Screwtape, yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. To review each day's broadcast, get on the list. That's the email list I'm talking about. Click subscribe at basicgospel.net and you'll receive an email each day with a link to the most recent broadcasts. That's subscribe at basicgospel.net. If this broadcast has found a favorable place in your day, why, please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. And be sure to tell a friend about Basic Gospel. Reminder, too, that all the resources we talk about are available at store.basicgospel.net. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.